sound on right there. Okay, I don't know what it's going to be, but there's going to be a problem. What are you laughing about?
You're usually the problem.
I could be. And I raised my hand for that.
Yeah.
So Kurt, Jeff, and Eric are here from Kurt's Auto Repair, I-17 and Bell. And when they come in, it's just a bunch of young boys in a room that you would expect to be laughing and giggling like a bunch of boys in a room looking at nasty magazines. And we're going to try not to make any jokes that anybody doesn't understand. We're not going to make fun of Eric.
Well, that's pretty easy, Mark, because most of the time you're about sixth grade humor. Most people understand that.
That's fine with me. Anyway, we're going to start the show off with the phone number, 602-508-0960. If you'd like to join us, you certainly can, 602-508-0960. And this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Strictly Diesel. He's up on I-17 at Pinnacle Peak Road. He does diesels. Did I say he does diesels? He's a triple or a backseat. He's a Better Business Bureau A-plus rated shop. He has really great technicians. I have lots of experience with Nate at Strictly Diesel. He does service, repair, and parts. They work on foreign and domestic light diesel trucks, Chevy, Dodge, Ford, Mercedes-Benz, that stuff. They don't bring your big truck in there because they don't do big trucks. Nevertheless, they're open Monday through Friday. They sell parts online at their website, Strictly Diesel. And you can look there, and you can compare cold air kits and exhaust systems and all the fancy stuff you would normally want to look at for your hot rod diesel. But no matter what kind of diesel you drive, don't pick on Dodges. You'll lose. He wouldn't appreciate it. I said that. What the heck? All right. So my truck.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I still had a dent in the bumper today, Mark.
Yeah, there's two dents in it. And because my wife's in Italy, it's her fault.
Oh.
All right, I don't have any fears. She'll never know I said that. But she was actually cutting a corner too tight, and there was a bucket off of the Bobcat there, and she scratched one side. And then she's backing up a trailer, and she crimps it because some guy's back there going, come on, and she crimps it and does the other side. But I'm not going to fix it because I get too much mileage out of it.
Yeah. it's worth having them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I understand.
It's just the way it is. So she's in Italy, been there 2 weeks.
So you've been misbehaving for 2 weeks?
You know, I've been on my own.
And he hasn't stepped in and helped?
You know what? She told all the kids to call me on a regular basis.
I've been there, yeah.
What are they calling you?
And I want you to know that I have Find Your Friends, and she's 6,297 miles away from me right now.
So that gives you time to straighten out any mess you make.
You know, I was talking to her the other day, and I said, you know, I did find my friends, and you were at a McDonald's in Rome? She says it seats 400 people.
Wow.
And she says, yeah, we just wanted to look what it's like. She takes pictures of the streets. The streets are really and truly a one-lane road, but they got all these little cars parked diagonally, and she says, I don't recognize a single car in this entire town. I haven't seen a Chevy, a Ford, a Honda, a Toyota. I haven't seen anything. Huh. She says, a Citroën?
Citroën. That's how they pronounce them.
Yeah. So she says, and then the people drive like crazy, but the worst people are on the Vespas. And she says, the Vespas sound like they're V8s underneath their, you know, between their legs. She says, they're all real loud. And I said, I'd have a big loud air horn on one of mine.
Yeah.
She says they go in and out of traffic. Nobody cares. Nobody honks at them. It's just the way of life.
Huh.
So anyway, she went with a bunch of girls. They went to this. Well, they went to the Sistine Chapel. That's the reason I didn't go, because I didn't want lightning to strike that thing. And so they went there. They went saw the Pope and all that stuff. And then they went over to this house that has lots of rooms. And there's 14 ladies from three different parts of the country. Renee's with a group of eight, I think. And these elderly ladies teach them how to cook Italian food for like 10 days.
That's why you sent her.
They cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And here's the key. They got to eat it. See, that's why I'm not going to do it.
They got to eat it.
So the last day she sends a picture and she says, 7-course meal with 5 different kinds of wine. Now, I left that alone. Mm. All right. I wasn't going to ask how crap-faced are you. I'm not going to say that. But my daughter Andy did. And she says, well, how are you feeling, Mom? She says, about a 2.1. That's police talk for really drunk. Nevertheless, she's having a good time, and I am too. So she has to come back Monday. So I'll pick her up Monday. But it's me and the dogs have had fun.
Yeah.
And I get to eat a Jack in the Box as many times as I want.
And as late at night as you want to go. Right?
And you know what? And there's times she says, well, you haven't moved from the ranch a lot. And I said, so you're looking at me? And she goes, yeah. And I said, I just leave my phone on the counter. So nevertheless.
Yeah.
602-508-0960. We have a caller. Can we help you today? And what's your name?
Patrick.
Patrick, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hey, hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Good. You know, you're talking about jokes earlier. My son used to tell me, he'd say, hey, Dad, I get it. It's a joke. Kind of like the funny kind, but different.
You got that right. Yeah, and there's I said something on Facebook, and it said something about it's unusual that, what's that lady's name, Ford? Janine or something like that, or whatever.
Christine Ford.
I put something like, Christine Ford has little recalls, but most Fords have a lot of recalls. It was a car joke, and it blew up. And I put in there a couple of times, this is just a joke from the car guy. It's not political in nature.
Uh-huh. But it was funny.
Anyway.
And it's true.
All righty, Patrick.
Her story is kind of like an old Ford in that it's starting to leak.
I'm not going to go to the well twice. I'm not going to the well twice. So, Patrick, thank you for sharing that with us. But surely
I have a question for you.
Okay.
I have a Land Cruiser that's old, and I just hate to leave. I hate to sell it. It's a 99, and it's in great shape except for a few things that I've had fixed. I think in the life of that car, I got almost 300,000 miles on it. I think I probably only put about 3,000 repairs on it. Part of it was a rack and pinion that just wore out. I mean, it's just been a wonderful car, and I hate to sell it. I love it. Still love driving it. And the air conditioner went out on it. And what I'm looking for is a good air conditioner shop. I live in Desert Ridge. And is there anything up in that end of town that you could recommend for air conditioning to get an analysis as to what's going on with it?
Okay. You guys, Desert Ridge, where's Desert Ridge?
It's Carefree.
All right. 40s. Tatum in the 101.
Yeah.
I don't have anybody up there at all. I don't have any. But let me throw it around the table. Is anybody on this table scared of a Land Cruiser?
No.
They all work the same.
Yeah.
They all have a compressor with an electric clutch. They all have a dryer. They all have something to meter the flow of refrigerant. Mm-hmm. To be perfectly honest with you, that would be something I would start with your garage. Unless, of course, you're at a lube shop or at you're having your oil changes at a transmission shop that's now converted to full-service auto repair. That's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, the full-service repair shops that I'm aware of would have no problem.
None.
But I want to – all right.
Okay.
Eric, give me a no less than – his AC's down. So let's assume it's not going to be something like it's low on Freon and the low-pressure switch is kicked out. Let's assume it's a catastrophic failure.
Sure.
So give me a no less than, no more than, and I kind of have a number in my head too.
Probably no less than $1,000. I'd be surprised if it was much over two.
And I would have gone 8 to 12. And with the knowing that I might be a little short on the top end, but without knowing what it is, let me ask you: you can help yourself in this respect. Does it even blow cool?
No, it's not blowing cool. The fan works, but it's not blowing any cool air.
All right, so turn it on.
It's a restricted flow.
Oh, you have a light that says restricted flow?
No, but it's reduced from what it had been at one point.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. The blower motor has restricted. Well, I'm not going to worry about that right now. What I want you to do is start it up and turn on the air conditioning and look at the front of the air conditioning clutch and see if it's spinning with the pulley. So the nose of the compressor is spinning with the pulley. Second thing is there's two hoses coming off the compressor. There's a big fat one and a skinny one. If you have a little bit of cool coming out of the skinny or the big one, the fat one, and if the small one's kind of hot, warm to the touch, and there's a big difference between the two, that's kind of a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
That's a good sign.
That's
what I would do. But 300,000 miles, you've never done air conditioning work on it?
No.
Well, what the hell are you complaining about?
I'm not complaining. You remember I told you about the joke.
I know. Oh, that's right. That's right. Unless, of course, I will be in your debt to you so long as nobody beats me up over letting your joke air. But Patrick, we're all sitting here in amazement that you pulled 300,000 miles with $3,000, or we'll even double that, $6,000 worth of work.
Oh, no, it's been a great car. Hey, I'm gonna practice leaving now.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you very much. Don't repeat the joke you gave us, okay?
On air, you mean?
I don't want to hear it for the rest of my life. Politics just gets into everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's from the car guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I always tease people with Ford, but the Ford guys tease me with the Dodge and the Chevys and all the rest of that stuff. Yeah. So we've been, Kurt, because you and I are the gray hairs of the group.
Yeah.
This has been going on for, what, 50 years?
I don't know, before we started.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So it's you know, the Ford
Chevy.
Well, that's
going to be 100 years then, huh?
All right, goodbye.
That done Eric's mic, ended it?
Yeah, his mic is now dead. Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you'd like to hop in, we've got five lines open. Gil's the engineer. He's going to be running it, and we'll be back. I'm going to leave in early, Gil. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 19 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and we're here at your service. We've got Vicki in queue right now, but we've got four open lines, 602-508-0960. If you want to talk about your car, you want to talk about an estimate, if you want to talk about anything car-related, we're not doing politics, but we'll talk about Chevys, Fords, and Dodges because they're represented well at the table. So, nevertheless, Under the Hood is brought to you by Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. Tom is a full-service, family-owned and auto repair shop that served the Deer Valley and way North Phoenix area since 1983, and I've known Tom since the early 80s. So whatever your repairs are, needs are, oil changes all the way to the big ones, then Tom is well-known for quality workmanship, good customer service, excellent customer service, and then a fast turnaround time. And the most impressive part about many shops is how many ASC master technicians they've got, and Tom has his fair share. So if you're up at I-17 in Deer Valley and you don't have a car repair shop, stop by for an oil change and see how they fit for you or how you fit for them. Vicki, good morning. How can I help you, Vicki?
Good morning. I'm driving my husband's 2001 Ford F-150, 148,000 miles on it. I've been driving it all week because my quarter-million-mile Cherokee's in the shop. But when you open the door, it goes beep, 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 beep. Doesn't matter if the lights are on or the key's in it. Every time it goes beep, it just started doing that this week.
All right, that's on the table. Who wants to raise their hand on that one?
Well, typically we find that the sensor that reads that the key's in the ignition goes bad.
Okay.
And so it thinks the key's in the ignition when you have the door open.
Okay, now if that's the case, I'm thinking, I'm not going to argue with you because I think you're right. And I didn't come up with it first, but I know Eric coached you through that, or Jeff coached you through that. but if that's the case, then she should be able to kind of play with the ignition switch,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, leave the door open, put the key in, jiggle it around, and then pull it out in and out a few times. And one time it'll probably shut off.
And if that's the case, then you can replace it. Okay, small number and big number. Give me the range for a repair on that.
Oh, I'm just going to drop it off at 25th Street Automotive. They've always...
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Billy, here's what you say. I talked to Mark Salem about that, and Mark says you don't have a prayer in hell of being able to fix this, but I thought I'd bring it by anyway.
And by the way, I do appreciate your... comment about Ms. Ford about Ford's having recall problems.
Yeah, well, I it did not escape me that you have a Jeep Cherokee and a Ford. Okay,
and a Chevy Colorado.
Oh well, you finally woke up.
Actually, it sounds confused.
You know what, Vicki? We'd tease you as long as you're laughing. That's
oh, sure.
That's
and
it.
The Colorado's given us more problems than this.
Stab me in the heart. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. All the cars you have, they've made good ones and bad ones. And they've made the Dodge truck was always a rattle trap long before I bought it. And you couldn't hardly turn the radio up loud enough to cover all the squeaks and the rusty noises and stuff like. Is that true?
Yeah, the early
that's
box.
True.
Yeah.
And the same way with virtually all the cars. The early stages were, you know, compared to what we get today, it's better.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you, Vicki. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Gil, have you got anybody else to save us from ourselves?
Henry's going to save you.
Henry, good morning to you. Thanks for calling in. Oh, by the way, stay there for a minute, Henry. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. What, right now, guys, we're one for one. All right? We're one for one. Henry, how are you today? What can we do for you?
want you guys to put on your thinking caps.
Okay.
I'm in the market for either an Audi A3 with a 2.0 turbo or a Mercedes E230 with a compressor, the supercharger. What are the benefits and what are the drawbacks of both systems? Go.
You know, I'm going to go first because I'm the most experienced.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you like? Is there anything else?
I'm looking at a Dodge quarter ton. No.
Okay, we're making progress.
We're headed the right way.
We're headed. Yeah, I just want to tell you, those fall into a category of Range Rovers and Land Cruisers. We did a brake job on one of the cars like you're talking about, the Audi A3 and the E230, that was in the vicinity of $1,800 with rotors and pads and squeakers and sensors and, I mean, the stuff that the manuals call for.
Yeah.
I don't do too many of those $2,000 brake jobs. Mm-mm. I don't care how bad you bring your car in. I can do that. I can do all the rotors and all the calipers and all the brake pads for a whole lot less than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want you to know that, in my opinion, and we'll give these other guys a chance to chime in my opinion, if you're going to buy these cars, you need to have a shop to back you up on these cars. What part of town do you live in?
Well, I live in Gilbert, but I have money to burn because my wife doesn't know that I have access to her savings account.
Go with a Bentley.
I was saying, go with a
Bentley? Did he say
that? Yeah. That's what whenever, I said. Whenever she questions her balance, I say, honey, have another glass of wine.
Holy mackerel. If you're going with her savings account, I can think of a lot of other vehicles that you'll be happy with. Why don't you go buy yourself one of those supercharged Corvettes? Or why don't
you see, it has to be done slowly. Like, what is it, a death by a thousand cuts?
A European car do that.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something else. You're going to hear the words, I told you so. Yeah. I can guarantee you that. You're going to hear those words. The A3 Turbo, I want to tell you about the A3 Turbo. You talk about a sleeper, bad butt car. Yeah. That is just a rocket ship on wheels.
And I'm looking at the manual, the 60.
Oh, yeah, that's more fun.
They're both a kick to drive.
Oh, there was a guy that I know was coming back from Las Vegas outside of Kingman, that big long stretch, and he was driving a 4-liter Jaguar XJR with the blower, factory blower on it. Never been beat, according to him. Never been beat. And Audi pulls up next. They're doing 60 miles an hour. He says, I floor it. He says the Audi taillights disappeared in about 5 seconds. He says, and I could never catch it. To really see if it was the A2. I didn't know what it was, but he said it was an Audi and just ate my lunch. So they're rocket ships. The Mercedes 230, but you're going to have to get, like, Goody up in North Scottsdale is a Mercedes guy.
Yeah.
So I would make friends with him, but you're on the other side of the world because you're in Gilbert. But,
well, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I have an S500 now with 169,000 on it. Yeah. 2,000. And it runs great, whatever I need, it gets done. So, I'm familiar with the mark. But I just wanted to know between the maintenance on a turbo versus a supercharger, which burns up or which has problems.
We're all shaking our heads.
Yeah, about the same.
About the same.
Yeah, we're not, that. I don't think that's where you need to worry about it.
No.
And now, I want to draw your attention. Your 500 is a limousine with a good motor in it.
Yeah.
It's quite different than this Audi A3 and the 230. I'm just drawn that they're different. The first one's a family car, but maybe your kids are up and gone, and it's just you and your wife, and maybe she drinks a lot, and you're into her savings account.
Hey, whoever said that? I never said that.
We have you on tape.
Hey, to quote a famous man, I like beer, okay?
Okay. All right, well, that's fine. Obviously, you like champagne or something more than that because you're going after an Audi. And his ears perked up when he said Bentley.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have you guys had a Bentley in?
No, sir.
No.
Okay. We had some big old car in not too long ago, and the guy, and it was like a DeSoto. It was an old Bentley. I don't remember what it was. And the guy said nobody could get it to overheat or stop overheating. So Eddie gets it running, and it runs fine like a clock, and it's a straight six. And so he's gunning the cylinder walls, and the three middle cylinders are cold as ice, and the other two are hot. So we have no idea. So he pops the freeze plugs out, and he pulls out at least two coffee cans full of what looks like cat litter.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing thing. And then we fixed it, and the guy came and drove it, and he says, "Do you mind if I drive it before I pay you?" And I said, "Yeah, go ahead. I don't care. I mean, if I fixed it, I already drove it halfway to Tucson and back. I picked up a couple of girls, had some beers.
I'm going to buy both and just get the Merlot out."
Oh, none of us are going to agree to that plan just because if she starts shooting, we want her to aim at you. But nevertheless, they're nice cars. We're not complaining that they're nice cars.
They're nice driving, yeah.
But you're going to pay through the nose for maintenance. And if you follow the manual, then you're going to be paying twice as much as you really should because the manual wants to keep it as new as possible so that you can do 300,000 miles and brag about that everything, it was great, except you're not going to be able to talk about, like Patrick, who gets 300,000 miles and he's only spent $3,000 in maintenance.
Yeah.
Of course, that's it.
All right. Then I'm getting a Pontiac Sunfire.
What?
Thanks, guys.
All right. Yeah. You know, someone's going to recognize his voice. And I've got the tape, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. You've got time to get in.
Welcome back, everybody.
I'm better turn up my headphones now. 34 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock, we've got one caller, but you're welcome to chime in if you have a car question or car problem. And we're really good at those arguments at the dinner table between the husband and the wife. We are really good. But our record is not quite as stellar as I represent it because most of us are going to side with the women no matter what because we're more scared of them.
Yeah, because our wives are listening.
Exactly. So we're always going to side with – well, not always. But nevertheless, if you have any kind of a discussion or a wives' tale, we're pretty good with wives' tales too. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Automotive Dynamics is Sun City's largest and most trusted and probably one of the most oldest shops in the Sun City area. Family owned and operated since 1982. They have high quality service. They stand behind their work they do. And here's something that's very interesting, and many of us are watching this. They've decided that their staff and mechanics are not paid a commission or a percentage of your repair bill. And the obvious response is therefore they don't sell. The staff doesn't sell or install or bid unnecessary parts or repairs. So we're kind of watching to see how that goes because that's just a different – that's the way it used to be, but we've gone away from that. So we're watching and we're listening. So I want to recommend that if you don't have a repair shop, Automotive Dynamics is on the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. I've known Chuck and Derek for a very long time, and you can trust them. All righty, let's go to the phones, and we have Sam. Sam, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
You know, we're sound drunk, but we're not. And we're happy and having fun, but we're in a soundproof room, so no one really outside can hear us.
That sounds like a place to be when you got questions like that.
Yeah.
I've got a 05 Highlander that was rear-ended, and they totaled it out. I just want to know what I can do with that. Can I? The insurance company is paying me off for it. Okay. But I can buy it back for $300.
Okay.
Now, is there something I can do, like, for a trade-in if I go to a dealership or something and show them that I've got it's still drivable?
Okay. I'm going to tell you, Kurt's going to chime in after me, but I'm going to tell you this is a bad deal no matter how you cut this pie up. That vehicle's now been labeled salvage. Mm-hmm. And so there isn't an insurance company in the world that's going to insure that because here's the deal. Someone's determined that the cost to fix it exceeds the value of the car. That would normally go to auction. Auction, there somebody's going to buy it, take it into their backyard, somebody who's been painting houses for a living, and they're going to, which is I'm not disparaging but I'm just drawing a distinct, or bakes cookies for a living, whatever. And they're going to fix this up. Now, there's safety features on a car that we have to make sure we reinstall. I'll give you an example. We want the windshield to pop out when you're in a crash, not in. So if we don't install that windshield right and it comes in and severs your head from your shoulders, somebody's in big trouble. And there isn't a dealer in town that's going to touch that thing with the salvage value. So take the money, maybe negotiate a little bit more money, and take the money and go buy something you want. But that's my opinion, and that happens a lot. And I work for the insurance companies a lot, and I can tell you there's cars on the road right now with salvage titles that I wouldn't let Kurt ride in.
Huh. Well, that's kind of you, Mark.
He may have a mother-in-law he could give it to.
Oh, yeah, you could do that for $300. Yeah. You could give it to your mother-in-law. Yeah. And that was Jeff who said that. Yeah, yeah, that's Jeff who said that. Well, Jeff, you want to donate your last name?
Well, could you just
2 minutes.
Sell it, part it out, like for the engine and that sort of thing? Or
you can, but they're offering you $300 salvage value. So I think they've already done their homework on that. And if you've got the back end pushed to the back seat, you can forget all that body stuff on the back. And, of course, you still got the engine. How many miles are on it?
About 157,000.
Okay. That's a little steep for us to be installing that in somebody else's car. But if it was a 300,000-mile car, they might buy it on a 157.
Yeah.
So I want to tell you, the only time I'd buy that back is if I owned a cabin in the mountains and that car was going to be in the mountains and riding around the cabin and everybody that was in it is grown and nobody drinks, then I would have that up at the cabin. That's the only thing I'd buy it for.
Yeah, most of the time people that get into something like that, they get in over their head because to part it out is a lot of work.
And that's a good point.
Yeah.
Who's going to, I mean, if somebody wants a wiring harness underneath the hood, who's going to go get that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think really and truly, I think the best advice is just take the money and run and just say goodbye to it. Take some pictures of it so you can show everybody how somebody rear-ended you and stuff. But really, don't get in the middle of that. I agree with Kurt. It's most people regret that decision.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Good luck, Sam. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. You guys had any flood cars come in?
Not this week.
Yeah.
Not this week. That's the key. That's the key. In the last 6 months?
You know what? I don't think we have.
Okay. We've had two or three come in, and you can tell by the water line. You get up underneath the dash, and you can tell by the water line.
We did have a Mini Cooper show up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then look at North Carolina.
Oh, man.
Look at the water depth there. Now, those guys are going to take those cars. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm going to give you both 100 cars. And they were running before the flood.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get them running?
Oh, you can get them running.
You can get them running, yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah. You can get them to start, run, and stop, yes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Then all of a sudden, that car's worth us more money. So we could, any one of us could do that. Fluid change, get the water out of everything, change the fluids, get fresh fuel in it, and it should fire right up. So there's a real hook involved in that because the risk is small, the reward is high, but you better have somebody look that car over before you buy it right now if it's used car, especially if they represent this. My dad just died, and I'm here from Toronto, and I'm here to sell the car. And you say, well, can I get the maintenance records on it? Oh, I don't know where they're at.
Yeah.
So this guy's got this car, and he doesn't have any history on it. You Carfax it, and it had a East Coast last address on it, and then all of a sudden it shows up in Arizona. So somebody's got a story that matches why they don't have the maintenance records, and they don't know anything about it because it's from my dad, and he died. So those are the kinds of things you're up against. 602-508-0960. We're going to take a break. We're all going to go finish our beers, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Kurt from Kurt's Auto Repair. He's the big cheese. And then we've got the two junior cheeses here. We've got Eric, who's a master. Oh, Kurt's a master tech.
Yes.
Eric's a master tech, and he runs service. And he runs roughshod over the technicians. Would that be close?
I don't know.
It's like
they run me over, I run them over.
Oh, I'm talking to Jeff. You be quiet.
Yeah.
Jeff?
Oh, Eric does a fantastic job.
Okay.
It is like a free-for-all at times.
Okay.
It's entertaining.
But anyway, you two young bucks, Eric and Jeff, you guys are the meat and potatoes of the group.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you got three techs.
Yeah.
And I enjoy you coming on the show because the four of us, you can hit the nail on the head most of the time. So let's try this one. Darren, how are you today? What can I do for you?
Daryl, I believe.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Gil has probably been partaking in some of the beer.
No problem.
He said it was Darren.
He did.
I heard him.
It's close enough. It's close enough, gentlemen. My question is this here. I've got an 07 750 BMW. It spends a lot of time in the garage at my home. computer problems, a little bit of tranny problems that are related to computer. Do you know anybody? Do you have any recommendations on anybody who works on BMWs?
Raise your hand, boys.
Well, where's he at?
Where you at? What part of town are you at?
North Scottsdale.
I got one in Chandler. You guys got anything up north?
I don't. Nothing that pops there, in my head.
I tell you, there was a BMW shop in North Scottsdale, and I don't remember what happened, but he felt as though was stupid and full of stuff and all kinds of stuff. He was kind of disparaging, and this is after I had sent him a customer.
Wow.
Because I had called another friend of mine in North Scottsdale and said, you know, who's a good guy, and they sent him over there. So I don't have anybody to tell you. Action Auto Repair, you can call him. He's got a BMW technician, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He's up at I-17 and Deer Valley, yeah. Northwest corner.
Okay.
And he's been around a long time, and all of us know him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We know all of his personal secrets. We know all of everything about him, so that might be worth a discount coupon a little while down the line.
We can help you blackmail him.
Yeah, we could. But he's a good guy. There was a BMW on my best car repair shops list down in Chandler. It's changed hands, and he hasn't made the 5 years yet. But usually I'll catch flack if there's been a change of ownership, and people will not know that I have dropped him. But if you're up in North Phoenix, in North Scottsdale, then I'm gonna make it unanimous. Tom at Action Auto would be the place that I would go talk to.
Perfect. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Yeah, this thing's got oil leaks, computer problems. I mean, it's got it all going on. And when it runs great, it's a phenomenal car. But, you know, I believe it or not, I've got a 09 Range Rover, and it's been flawless. This BMW's been the worst vehicle I've ever owned in my life.
Oh, boy. Just shovel cover us up.
You'd ought to be nicer on them Range Rovers,
well,
Mark.
You know, the problem is we're never going to get any BMW advertisers. But in all due respect, I wouldn't take any of the car manufacturers anyway, because they wouldn't have a sense of humor, because we beat them all up either way. So, but I can tell you that 750 BMW is a rocket ship without wings.
Yeah.
It is a fast son of a gun. All righty. Well, listen, Daryl.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. You guys keep me laughing all morning. I'm like, gee, I'm listening to financial people, and they're bringing me down.
You guys, you know what? It's hard to follow those guys because they don't leave me any customers.
Well, there you go. Gentlemen, right. Thank you very much.
You betcha. Okay. You betcha. Thompson's Auto Repair is another place. He's in Mesa. He's all alone. He's got the whole city to himself. He's on Main Street just east of Stapley. Brian and Thelma are just the nicest people in the world. Brian comes from a Vivian and a Thompson family that got married together, and both of them have been in Mesa since the 60s. And I actually worked for Ken Vivian, which is Brian's uncle, in 1968 when I was a gas station jockey at his gas station. So I've known that family a long time. You only have to shake Brian's hand to know that he's going to take good care of you. So Thompson's Auto Repair, the only shop in Mesa that Mark Salem points to. He's been around a very long time, since the 1970s. He's a good guy. Again, he's on Main Street just east of Stapley. And let's go back to the phones real quick, because we've got, and we're, you know what, if we get this name wrong, I'm going to give Gil's cell phone number out. Okay. Sal, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Had a quick question. The wife is looking for a small SUV, so I was wondering, she's got three vehicles on her list here. She's got a Toyota RAV4, a Honda CR-V, and a Hyundai Santa Fe. So we're looking for a small SUV for her, and looking to trade in or sell her Mazda 3. That was the second part to my question. Let's go with the first part. Okay. What do you recommend as far as a small SUV that's reliable?
Okay. All right. I'm throwing it on the table. Thumbs up or thumbs down on the RAV4?
Mediocre.
Eric's giving the thumbs up. It's mediocre for the three of us.
Yeah.
Okay? So let's go on all four of them. The CR-V. Thumbs up,
I like
mediocre.
CR-V's a little higher than the RAV4.
Yeah. Okay. Are we just neutral on the CR-V, or are we thumbs up on the CR-V?
People that own them love them. Okay. The only thing is they tend to be underpowered because they only come with a four-cylinder.
Okay. All right. Now, what about the Hyundai Santa Fe? I really like the Hyundai.
Yeah, they have the V6. They have a lot more power. The only problem we're finding on the Hyundais is we've had a lot of sludge problems and stuff in some of them engines, and the GDIs have some issues. But that's going to be across the board, whatever brand.
GDI means gas direct injection. Carbon problems.
Right. Carbon. And we'll get to that somewhere down the road. But and then I'm going to throw one out there as well. And you guys are
Audi A3 turbo.
You guys are going to beat me up. I'll get even. You guys are going to beat me up on this, but why not like a Ford Edge?
Ford Edge, actually, that was on the back burner. I was going to ask, is there anything else that I haven't mentioned?
Well, in the size range he's talking, they've got the Escape, and I happen to like the Escape better than any of the three he mentioned.
Okay.
But you didn't hear me say that.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
You guys got to throw, you want to chime in?
Yeah, Fords have recalls.
Mark, you're going to have to shut these guys' mics out.
All right, let me say something, because this is going to make it easier for me. My wife, you know, drives an Edge.
Yep.
She bought it without my permission. It's the first Ford that my family's owned in a million years.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you,
6-liter diesel.
I drove it's a V6.
Okay.
I got to drive it the other day because she's in Italy, and I drove it up and down the mountain 2 or 3 times. She's got 88,000 miles on a 4-year-old car, so she's been putting some miles on it, and I still like to drive it.
Yeah.
I still like the amenities. I like to drive it. I also like the Hyundai, so I'm giving both of those thumbs up.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not too excited about the CRV and the RAV4.
CRVs are so underpowered. That's a problem. If you put four people in it and head up to Payson where you go all the time, and it's 115 here, you're standing in them.
Well, and you're going to be crawling up the hill.
Yeah.
I like the Ford Edge, and I'll tell you this much. They have the Edge V6, then they got the turbo.
Yeah.
All right? There was two guys that I know that decided to see who could outrun who. So they went to the bottom of the hill in Rye.
Uh-huh. Okay,
so they were going to go up the 4.5 miles up to Payson. This is their story. We were neck and neck the entire way.
Wow.
I couldn't pass him, and he couldn't pass me. So the 4-cylinder turbo against the V6 Edge, it was kind of a draw. So that's what I heard. I don't know anything more about that.
And your wife's in Italy, and you're staying with that story.
It was a couple guys I know.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. All righty. But anyway, Sal, here's the real good advice. How many years have you been married?
This year, actually, we'll be 30.
Okay. All right. I think you're smart enough to know that it doesn't make any difference what four guys on the radio have to do. If I were you, here's my best advice. Let her pick what she wants. Because if you pick it for her and it turns out to be a big turd, then you and us are going to be on the do not invite for dinner list.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I got that.
Okay.
Second part to the question, which everybody's advised me against doing, we were going to trade in her Mazda 3, which has been running fine up to now. Last week, just happened. She's got a small leak in the radiator.
Okay.
And took it to a shop. They quoted me $600 and $700 to replace it. I don't want to replace it because I'm getting ready to buy her another car, a small SUV. So I think about putting some stop leak in the radiator, and everybody told me that's a terrible idea, but I'm not going to have the car very long.
Okay, but you can't put stop leak in it and then trade it in because they'll pick up on that. I mean, that's going to be an easy pickup, and then they're going to devalue the car. I think, depending on the low blue book value of that you ought to put a radiator in it.
Yeah.
I think you put a radiator in it, and you spend $80, have it detailed, put it on Craigslist. I think that you should build a little 3-ring notebook with all your maintenance records, and that shows that you're an old guy, and that shows that you're anal, and that shows that you're an idiot. But people love those cars.
Yeah. Yes.
People love those cars. So you only have three choices. Trade it in the way it is. Fix it and trade it, and you're going to make your 600 back in a heartbeat.
Yep.
And I think the 600 might have upper and lower hoses in it.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
I expect. Or if it overheated a thermostat or something.
Okay. Yeah. So I think there's more to the radiator. I think there's new coolant. I think there might be upper and lower hoses, and I think the radiator, and I think you're going to get your money back on a trade-in. If you want to hang around and let people drive your car and hope they bring it back, then Craigslist is a good place to go. Okay.
Got it. Thank you so much. Appreciate
you betcha.
It.
John, you're up next. John, how can I help you?
Well, thank you, Mark. And gentlemen, you've already offended me 3 times. I'm a baker, and my wife's a painter, so I'm going to have to laugh.
You know what? I can fix that. You're not going to hear any more laughing from them. I just turned them off, John. It's just you and me, buddy.
Okay. It's a Ford 98, 2002 miles throttle position sensor. And I've replaced two sensors. I took the old connection off and put on a new connection with the three wires and snip the other ones back. I'm getting a very hard shift at about 30 miles an hour with a squeal in it.
Okay. Now, hold on. Give us that Ford year again. Tell us the Ford year again.
98
Ford what?
F-150.
Okay, gotcha.
5.4 engine, I'm sorry.
Okay. These two guys are whispering against with one another, so that means that one of them is telling the other how to answer the question. So throw it out there on the table, boys. I hear crickets.
Recently we had a truck very similar come in. I don't know.
Yeah, and it was probably mine. Seriously, it was probably mine.
Okay. I don't know if it was a white box sensor on that one, but we verified all the signals. And so I would say if you're not putting in a quality part, that's a good place to start.
Okay.
All right. And two, there is an install process.
Absolutely.
You have to clock them, right.
You have to synchronize the throttle opening, the TPS value, and the RPM. So if you don't synchronize that, you're going to have TPS code after TPS. And then, of course, you're going to buy every brand there is and blame it on somebody else. So the answer
I didn't blame it on them, trust me. They did what they said they were going to do, guys. It wasn't that. I did what I asked.
Okay. I think I'd have somebody diagnose the hard shift. And but what do you think? Go.
His if this is the one we were talking about, his was because it didn't have a TPS code or level at all, so it just maxed line pressure.
Okay.
So that's the hard shift.
Okay, all right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So is it – let me ask you this. Since it's been fixed, you still have the hard shift?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Is the code went away, the TPS code?
No, sir.
Okay.
So it hasn't been fixed.
All right. So is there a warranty on this truck? You guys?
We didn't fix it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought
They did exactly what I asked them to do. So
okay.
They were going to put a TPS in there, but I already had two of them in there, so I said, don't worry about it.
It's in the Chevrolet. It's called resetting minimum idle authority, but it's the same thing of a synchronization of the TPS. So you haven't you haven't given them a chance to do. I agree with them. No matter where you take it, we have to just go in and do the setup on the TPS. We have to synchronize the TPS to the values of the truck. Then you can drive it. Even if you have a rough shift, you can drive it, and we hope that we're not going to go out. So if you want to stay right there, we'll have more conversations, but I'm out in 3 seconds, 2 seconds, one. We'll come right back.
Goodbye.
Now, once again, here's Mark.
Welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and you're more than welcome to join us. All you have to do is give us a call, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. My wingmen are Kurt and Jeff and Eric, all from Kurt's Automotive on I-17 in Bell. And between all of us, we've been able to satisfactorily at least guess on most of the repairs. and we've heard them before. We talked during the break, and I want to tell you what I said to you guys in the break. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. I don't know about you, but I'm going to ask you now because I held this back. When you have a problem and you have a part that goes two times in a row that it came out of the box and it didn't work for us and we know our procedures right, what do you do then?
Change part lines.
And that's the old man, we know that. We're not going to buy that part line.
No.
We're going to go to a different brand. And so that, now I'm going to step out and say that the three-whiskered kid sells parts that are not up to the level that I want to install. My monthly parts bill is easy $40,000, $40,000. And the three-whiskered kid might get... my total bill there might be $50 to $100 because he have a baby moon hubcap I need or a can of paint I need.
Or the mud flaps you always want.
The mud flaps.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll do that, but there is a difference in parts.
Yes.
There just is a difference. And I think the difference is there's 25% of the parts out there are just junk. And then there's 75% is the kind that we all – you're not going to pick Moog suspension. I might like Moog, and you might like somebody else.
Sure.
And I might like Continental belts, and you like Goodyear belts, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the idea is pretty much that. We talked with John about his Ford TPS, and we described the procedure. It's kind of technical, so he's probably going to need some help. But I don't know that I'd get a third TPS right now. I'd get it set and see if it's available to be set, mm-hmm. and then move on from there. Because how long will it take you to determine that the TPS isn't working like it should? Well, can you do that in 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. And I could, too. I think I could. I could look over your shoulder and tell you. Anyway, that's
I can do that from here, Mark.
All right, I'm going to talk about you guys.
Uh-oh.
Because and I know this because somebody else sent it to me. There was someone that came into your shop, and he had a 99 Ford Mustang. Don't correct me. I'm working on this by myself. He has a 99 Ford Mustang, and he has a ticket from another repair shop that has a $7,400 estimate that says replace the engine, replace the radiator, replace the coolant sensor, clean out the oil from inside the tank, replace the heater hoses, evacuate and recharge the air conditioning, and there's some miscellaneous parts that we haven't added to the estimate, $7,400. I have it on good authority that you guys fix this car. $300? You remember this car. It's a Mustang. Mm.
Yeah.
You remember the car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't know what color it is, but it's a Mustang, and it's a 99. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You remember it?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, what was the bill?
That portion of repair was probably about $300.
Okay.
And he did some other stuff, too, that was a little additional once the car was running fine.
Who drove it to make sure that we could go 10, 20, 30 miles?
I did. Mr. Kurt himself.
Okay. And so basically it didn't need an engine. It didn't need a radiator. It didn't need coolant, or was coolant part of the repair?
We did have to put coolant back
in.
Yeah.
What was wrong with it?
It had a blown bypass hose.
Okay, so you put a bypass hose on it.
Uh-huh.
You flushed it out.
Uh-huh.
What else?
We did some additional repairs that weren't. We did do the radiator, but not because it was the problem, just because the cooling system had gotten old, and that was one of the reasons the hose busted.
Okay.
But that wasn't needed to actually make it running.
Okay. All right. So was the ticket with the radiator still $300?
No.
It was a little more than that.
Yeah.
Okay. Added the other
$400, $500,
$600? We wound up doing door handles and everything else, Mark.
Oh, so forget the door handles.
I don't know where
underneath
we were.
The hood. If it's $300, I'm guessing the radiator on top of that, probably hoses and stuff, could add $200 or $300. So I'm going to say $600. Forget the door handles.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why, folks, that the shops that are on my best car repair shops list, that's why we're good, is because we have a conscience, we know what's right and wrong, and we're not going to bid an engine, a radiator, a coolant reservoir, all the hoses, clean this, clean that, evacuate and recharge the air conditioning for $7,400.
Yeah, and on that particular one, looked like somebody from the other shop had actually dumped oil in the top of the radiator to cover themselves when the customer decided to pull it out of their shop.
So oil crossing over into the cooling system typically means engine problems and probably head gaskets or intake gaskets,
right.
Okay? So after you're done, you'll know if it comes back with oil in it, and you're going to have to eat some crow.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
On the other hand, that's what you thought, so you clean that out, and it should be fine.
Yep.
But okay.
Yeah, but they got the oil on the outside of the cap. They got to do a better job of covering their trail.
Oh, so okay. So it's on the outside of the cap.
Oh, yeah. Inside and
outside.
So yeah.
Between the two seals.
Use a funnel. No. They didn't use a funnel.
They're a little sloppy.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to name them shop, but anyway, Kurt's Auto is a place, and you've done that for. I'm looking at you, Kurt.
Yeah.
You've done that. That's how we really got together. Is the lady with the motor, and you put an oil pressure switch in it after she had been bid by three other shops that needed a motor.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what we do. I think all my shops have that happen, but this one was brought to me. Okay, let's go to the phones and let's see what we can do. And as soon as I get the paper out, Jim, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Good morning, Mark. Well, I have a question. I'm calling on behalf of my son who rebuilt his grandfather's 1976 Chevy Silverado.
Okay.
And he has a question with timing.
Okay.
He took it into a shop. At the timing set, and apparently it's at 43 degrees right now. It's running rough, and the mechanics are now saying that it needs a recurve spring kit. And we were wondering if that's something we should do. It's a 350 small block engine. He has an Edelbrock 600 CFM carburetor, and it's a Chevy Performance ETI distributor.
Okay. All right. Well, we like the distributor, right?
Yes.
Okay. And let me ask some questions. Is 43 degrees, is it going to run at 43 degrees?
Well, let's hope they're talking about maximum advance at RPM.
All right. Is your 43 at idle, or are you measuring on high RPM?
That's at high RPM.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds normal.
Well, okay. We're a little high, maybe, but 38 is where I'd win.
But he hasn't said anything about pinging.
38.
No.
No.
Okay. He hasn't said nothing about pinging. Uh-uh. Okay, because if we went too far on the top end, we'd have pinging.
Yeah.
Okay. So, go ahead.
So when he went to the shop first, they did, it was pinging when he drove it away from the shop. He went right back. They brought it down a few degrees.
Okay. All right. Here's, I mean, gosh, guys, I'm going to go this myself. I don't need your help on this.
Okay? It's an old car like you.
Yeah, it is. Take the distributor cap off and grab a hold of the rotor and rock it left and right. And if it springs back and it's loose, then we're set on the mechanical side.
Yeah.
Then we take a vacuum pump and grab a hold of the stupid nipple on the vacuum advance and pump it, and we can see the base plate move left and right. We're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
That's it.
And so you're going to, now I got a number in my head. Give me a wild guess on the timing at idle.
Timing at idle should be somewhere around 8 to 10 degrees.
I'm with you. I'm holding it behind the computer screen. What's my finger say?
Yeah, eight.
But the thing is, he's running Edelbrock. He's running so any of the factory specs don't come into play now.
But here's the deal. We certainly aren't going to retard the
timing. No, we're not going to go retard.
There's high-performance distributor and carburetor, yeah. All right?
Right.
And we're not going to advance the timing because of this high-performance because we're going to set it at curb, and then that distributor is going to let it go where it wants to go.
Yeah, that's why it's a little higher than you would expect because it's a performance distributor.
And that would be fine.
Sure. Yeah.
But and it ain't going to start at 43 degrees.
No.
Okay. So you know, I just... We don't agree based on looking at it through your eyes, Jim. We don't agree putting a fancy distributor is the answer.
Yeah, unless he's tracking it or something. If you're just daily driving it.
Yeah, and tracking it means unless he's out there being a jerk going around the corners with the back wheel spinning like Eric and Jeff do, and everybody else is a jerk but not them.
Yeah. I may have seen a red Dodge do something like that this morning.
Did you really?
With an eagle on the side.
Hold on just a minute. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. His microphone went 10 seconds.
Mark, I didn't see nothing.
Okay, that's good. Anyway, Jim, I think we've made ourselves clear. We don't agree with the diagnosis because there's too many holes in the symptoms. Because the reason we can say we don't agree is because you're giving us information. And assuming the input is good, the output is good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many years. Years. How many years you got?
Oh, I started at 17. I'm your age.
All right. So then add it up.
I can't do math, Mark.
All right. What is it?
You muted him.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I've been working at Kurt's just over 20.
Okay, you?
I'm just under 20.
I'm at 40. I'm going to give you 40.
Give me 40.
Okay,
I'll take
so
it.
We got 120 years of right? 3 times 40, 4 times 20? No, 40 is 80. 120.
We got 120.
120 years of experience here, and we're all solid in our responses that you don't have. If it had a problem with the springs or the vacuum or the mechanical, he wouldn't have any power.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Right.
He wouldn't have any power.
Okay.
And if
that
it,
makes sense.
And if it was hanging up, then it would be hard starting, and it would drag the starter, so it'd go like Fords do. You don't have the stuff for it.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Thank you so much, Mark.
You betcha.
Thank you, fellas.
You betcha. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We're not going to beat you up if you call us. We're just having fun at everybody's expense.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything about a red truck. And you know what? You don't want to get in a mess with me. I'm telling you. All right? You don't want to do that. Because you're not here every week. I have both your cell phones. And as serious as I was going to sound, here's something I can offer you. For today and this whole weekend, especially between midnight and 6, give these two phone numbers a call, and they will help you with your car problems. Okay. That's the BS bell. So you have to be careful about that. But nevertheless, it's the nice part about it is he has enough information. Do we ask a question?
Yeah.
You got low power. You got pinging. Yeah. No, I don't have any of that. You got rough idle. Does it drag the starter when it's running, when you go to crank it? That's kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he's wrong and he gave us stuff that wasn't true, because men don't know. Men, we want three in this show. First of all, we want symptoms. We don't really care about all the other people that have tried to fix your car. Okay,
no.
Because clearly they didn't fix your car, you wouldn't be calling me. So I'm not interested. Let's talk symptoms. But men, they have yes and no, but they don't say, I don't know.
No.
But the women do that.
Yeah.
The women, you say, well, what color is your car? I don't know. And that's okay because it doesn't make any difference to the oil leak we're talking about. But there's three answers. For everybody, just year, make, and model, mileage, and symptoms. What uh-huh. symptom do you have? What problem are you trying to fix? What is it that you're working on?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the give and take that we want to do. So 602-508-0960. If you have symptoms, you want to talk about symptoms, or maybe you have an estimate from somebody, or maybe you have a diagnosis from somebody, and you want to give us the symptoms and the diagnosis, we can handle all that. 602-508-0960. And for the first time in my life, I'm going to be right on 17 minutes. Bye, Gil. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Let me tell you about automatic transmission exchange real quick. Phil has been around since Jesus was a baby. Phil knows transmissions from the very first power glides and those old transmissions in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s all the way to the new computerized transmissions. So in order for you to transition from the very first transmission to the computerized transmissions, you better know the fundamentals of transmissions. And that's what Phil and automatic transmission have in common. And that is they know the fundamentals. So no matter what kind of transmission you have, Phil, and he's a gray-haired guy, he can probably look at anything old and anything new. They'll also drive your car for you for free as long as you can duplicate the problem. That's kind of important. So he doesn't rebuild everything that comes in the door. He fixes leaks. He does fluid changes. He does all of it that's related to transmissions. So he's at 40th Street in Washington on the north side of the road. If you go up and down Washington, you've driven right by his place, Automatic Transmission Exchange. Let's go to the phone. Sam, good morning. I understand you had a follow-up question from last hour.
Oh, yeah, I got a couple more questions.
All right.
I'm looking for another vehicle because I told you mine got rear-ended.
Okay.
Looking for 2016 to 2017 Hyundai, Kia, Chevy. I don't know. Are they all reliable pretty much in that year?
You know, we can't really do that without a model because they're all different.
Yeah.
I'll start it out, but I like Hyundai, Kia. Mm-hmm. I think that they didn't, if you agree, they didn't used to be.
No.
When they first came out, they were big, huge piles of Bulmaner. I didn't like them at all, but I think that they've come a long way.
Yeah, they've come a long way.
And I would not have any problem if one of my kids decided to buy one or if my wife decided to buy one. I wouldn't have any problem with that.
What about the Chevy Equinox?
Jump in.
We mediocre. Don't know. Yeah, just middle of the road. They're just an everyday car.
We don't have any heartburn with the Chevy Colorado.
Okay. All right. Now, I remember one time you had sent somebody out to buy a vehicle. You gave them stipulations. No dock fees, no tax or no license or something. Okay. Can you go to the dealer and do that today, or is that just something a business can do?
Well, no, not at all. I'll tell you all right now. We had an Astro van. It's a commercial vehicle. It had 300,000 miles on it, but it was too tall for some of our elderly customers to get into, so we had to put a milk crate there. So I said to my daughter, Andy, go buy a van and get something really nice. So her and Luis, who drives the van, come up with a Grand Caravan. Mm-hmm. So they went to the Dodge dealerships and stuff like that, and I challenged her to buy it for the sticker.
Yeah.
Buy it for the sticker. Write your check for the sticker. Because I want to tell you, you guys know that when we look at the sales sheet, dock fee, freight, get ready, window tinting, desert protection package, nitrogen in the tires.
Yep.
And they've loaded it up with the superfluous crap. First of all, I don't want a window tint. Take it off.
Yeah.
What's the desert protection package? You know what the desert protection package
spray
is?
Spray on silicone on the paint.
Well, you know what else? It's a mop and glow.
Yeah.
Remember mop and glow?
Yeah.
I've got a guy that owned an RV shop that swore to me that that's what his desert protection. And I said, you're proud of that?
Yeah.
But you're going to use mop and glow on an RV? And he goes, yeah, it's pretty expensive. It's a big RV. Oh, I'm really proud of my relationship with you. The idea is if you can buy it for a car, tax, license, and out the door, and my daughter wrote her check for that, and I was really proud of her, and I'll be honest with you, Tempe Dodge.
Yeah.
That's where we bought
the other thing. The other thing, Mark, that he probably does not want nothing to do, I think you agree on this, is do not buy an aftermarket warranty.
And or a maintenance package.
And that's not something that's self-serving to us.
No.
That's not self-serving to us. The fact of the matter is you're never going to be on top of an aftermarket warranty. And the maintenance agreements, they get a shot at you every time you come in for an oil change. And nobody leaves there with a $20 oil change.
Right.
They leave there.
Okay.
And the other day, a guy came in. He showed me paperwork of $30,000. I'm not going to say who it is because it could have been an independent shop. $30,000. That 30,000-mile service turned into like $1,100.
Yeah.
They had let's flush the injectors, let's clean the upper throttle blades, let's flush the intake manifold, let's flush the valves, and then at the end it said let's flush your wallet. And so it was one of those.
Okay.
So you're far better off. I'll tell you what I'll do, and I've said this before. You give me the written portion of that contract, and I'll take the deal. You pay me the monthly payment, and I'll take care of the car. Now, here's the deal. We have to draw the line. We got breakdown and part failure, and then we've got maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if your radiator fails but you didn't do your flush when you should have, I'm not covering your radiator
because
that's what the contract says. Here's my most egregious thing. We had a lady come in with the radiator out. She had an aftermarket warranty. Just like you guys, you call up, and you had some little yapper on the other side of the phone who's telling you how to fix the car. And he wants to send you a radiator from Japan or China, South America, or some island in the Pacific. Uh-huh. And he wants to tell you how much the labor is, and he wants you to reuse the coolant. And you know, can you tell I'm getting kind of mad?
Yeah, and then he wants you to warranty their radiator.
Exactly, they're going to send him the radiator.
For the average labor rate in the central county of Kentucky or something.
That's it. So this guy says, we're not going to warranty the radiator. And I said, why not? And he goes, well, she missed her transmission service. And I said, so what's that got to do with it? He goes, well, the transmission service may have saved the radiator. I said, I got a broken tank, buddy. I don't have a cooler that's come apart.
Yeah.
I don't have a transmission cooler problem. I got a tank that's blown off the core. And, well, no, she didn't do her transmission service, so we're not going to cover it. Can you believe that? That's like me saying, I'm not going to warranty the back surgery I did because you didn't have a proctology examination. You know what I'm saying? What's one got to do with the other? I'm sorry I used example.
Can I, you know, like they say, this is a no-haggle price. Can you still haggle?
Heck yes.
There's only no haggle if you don't haggle.
And I'll tell you something else. There's a friend of mine. He's in law enforcement. This is a true story.
Huh.
He goes, he finds this car, and he calls me, and it's a very special car. And he calls me, and he says, they want, you know, $12,000 for this car. And I book it real quick, and I go, it's a $5,000 book. He says, I know, but there's all kinds of people here that are standing in line to get this car.
Wow.
And I said, whatever you want to do. You asked me a question, I answered it. So then he calls me back and he goes, I think I can get it for $8,000. And I said, well, let me understand something. There's people standing in line to buy this car, and they just dropped it from 11 to 8. Do you see the line? Well, no. There's a line. I said, okay, well, if you want to pay $8, fine. So then he calls back. Oh, boy, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I told you guys to mute your phone. And Eric, next time I tell you to mute your phone,
make sure
your phone
muted.
So anyway, he calls me back and he tells, oh, okay, now at $8,000, then it's really $11,200. And I said, well, that's called the pack.
Uh-huh.
And so he ended up buying it. And I said, it's okay. It's your money. But when you say no haggle, I'd say what percentage of people are going to honor that? Half? Half of the people? How many people are not going to honor that? You write down. I'll give you this for the car, and you hand it to him. And you sign your name. The haggle just went out the window. We're going to haggle now. But here, don't let him, Sam. Don't bid against yourself. You say, well, will you take 21? No, I won't. Well, will you take 20? When you say two numbers in a row, I've got you, and I'm a negotiator. I negotiate for horses and cows.
Mm.
So I am an expert negotiator, and I never give this a number twice. So I give you a number, you give me a number. I give you a number, and you give me a number. But if he gets you bidding against yourself, it's just fishing right there. All right, I got to run. But thank you, Sam. Jeff, you stay right there. I'm going to get you on the other side of the break, but everybody's yelling at me because I missed my other break. So my name is Mark Salem. Every Saturday I'm here between noon and 12 talking stupid stuff about a car. You're welcome to join us, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.
All about that
Welcome back, everybody. 33 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. Kurt is here from Kurt's Auto, along with Jeff and Eric, and they're all master techs. I'm a master tech by default. I'm just too old for them to say no to me anymore. Nevertheless, you've got four guys with 120 years of experience, yep. And all of us have been all the way from engines to oil changes and everything in between.
Everything.
We had a 26-hour evaporator the other day on a Chrysler.
Wow.
26-hour. It was the dash from left to right. It was the front seats, the console, the steering column, and then half of the firewall on the other side.
Which one is that on?
I don't know. Oh. I was just happy to see it.
Happy to see it go back together.
I'll tell you what I was really worried about is if I told the technician, don't leave this property. And he goes to lunch, he gets in a car wreck.
Oh, man.
And God forbid, I mean, if he goes to the hospital, I'm in trouble. Who's going to put that thing back together?
Yeah, I know.
He's got a 5-gallon bucket of bolts. So yeah. I said, you're not allowed to leave the shop until you get that thing back together. All right, let's go talk to Jeff because we left him on the other side. Jeff, thank you for holding as long as you did. How can we help you?
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I've got a 2008 Ford Explorer, 6-cylinder. My son tells me I've got a vacuum leak. I get at idle, I get a flutter, and then when I'm going uphill or accelerating with the air on, the blower shifts from the vents up to the windshield for defroster.
Okay.
What do you guys say?
Go, Eric.
He's got a vacuum leak. Whether the vacuum leak's caused it as flutter or not can be completely separate. But Absolutely. He does have a vacuum system problem.
And what do we know this? Because the default is the windshield, what we call the top vents. Mm-hmm. So we got windshield, center vent, and floor. That's the correct terminology, by the way. No, I'm just teasing you. So we know that if you got floor, if you got center vent, and you throttle up, then if we go to the default position, which is top of the dash, then we got a vacuum leak, or we've got something in that circuit. So it's most commonly a vacuum leak. As far as the flutter is concerned, I agree with you. If this vacuum leak was so big, it would have a tough time idling, and you'd probably hear a sucking noise underneath the hood.
Yeah.
Kind of a...
And it should set a check engine light.
And it should be a lean. It should be a lean co check engine light. So, now, the idle, you got any idea? I mean, how many things could it be?
The problem is intake gaskets on those things are pretty common.
Yeah.
And so he could be right. There is a vacuum leak, per se, but it's going to be two separate problems, per se.
And then another thing, too, is in order to come to the conclusion of what it is, you have to have a proper diagnostic procedure. We have guys that come into the shop all the time that tell us to what perform. And, of course, we have a form that we have them fill out and sign that says we're working off of someone else's diagnosis. If this isn't going to fix your problem, then you're out of luck when there's no refunds. So I would suggest that you stick with idle flutter and air conditioning goes to a default top vent and let the shop see if they're tied together.
Yeah.
But to have them go in and start searching for a vacuum leak, that's chasing your tail too early.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So do you have a good shop that you like?
I've got one up in Flag because I'm up and back all the time.
Okay. All right.
And
well, that's a good feeling. If you have a shop that you like and you trust, then that's what I would do. I would go back to him and I would say what you told us. And if you can show him what you're talking about, that's like a home run. We rarely can people take the time to show us. But if you can show him, then he can – and it'll save you money. The 15 or 20 minutes you show him, that'll save you some money.
Yep.
All righty.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Debbie, you're up next. Debbie, how can we help you?
Hi. Well, can I ask you a question about European cars?
Sure you can.
Okay. So I have a 2005 BMW X5.
Okay.
I have 250,000 miles on it. It's got a 4.4 engine. It's the most fun car I've ever owned.
Okay.
Things are starting to break on it. A lot of things. Every time I take it in, you know, it's $2,000 in the BMW shop.
Okay.
So I'm ready to change to an American car.
Okay.
I'm wondering if you can give me some suggestions on which direction to go from a fast BMW to an American car, something that would still be fun for me.
Okay. The last time I looked on my computer system, we had 1,128 models of cars. So we need you to narrow that down. But I want to comment on your X5, okay?
Okay.
This is called self-defense for car expense. And this is for women. All right? Now, hear me out before you start laughing and making fun of me.
Okay.
When they give you your long list of stuff that you need done, you look him, you look the girl or the guy in the eye, and you say, these motor mounts, what symptoms do I have today that you're going to fix? And you're going to hear crickets. Then you say, my husband, you know, God bless him. He thinks he knows everything about cars. But I want you to write all this down on a piece of paper and then sign it and put your phone number where my husband can call you. And that'll never happen. I'm talking about independent shops or dealerships. I'm not being being derogatory. Then if they say, well, you're due for this maintenance, you say, oh, gosh, my husband would be mad if, or you can say anything, my dad. My dad's going to be mad at me. And you're going to say, let me get the owner's manual, and you show me where it says that. And then if they say, okay, if they say, oh, well, if your owner's manual's not written for Arizona, you say, okay, fine. I want you to call parts right now and get me an Arizona manual, and I'd like to go there and get it now. And then you're going to hear crickets again. So those are the four things. If I had the software that God had, I would program every woman to – guys are never going to say that because they're too damn proud and because they know more than the service writer anyway. But again, what symptom are you going to fix? Write it down and tell me what the estimate is. Then tell me in my owner's manual where it says that. And then what was the other one? Do you remember? There was
four. Arizona owner's manual.
Oh, yeah, Arizona owner's manual. Yeah. So that's my advice. But here's my email address, mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. Okay. Give me five cars. I'll send it to all these other yahoos. Can you, Gary, can you get email in jail?
Yeah,
he's got something he has to spend the night in jail. But anyway, mark@marksalem.com. Deborah, give us five, and we'll give you our opinions on each one of them, okay?
Okay, great. Right. Thank you very much.
You betcha.
Okay, bye.
And Dan and Richard, you stay right there, but we're going to have room for two more people, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Of 11. And we're here every Saturday between 10 and noon. The Young Bucks corrected me, but they're not under this tremendous pressure I am to put this show on. Let me tell you real quick about S&S Tire. S&S Tire is on the west side. They're a great place to go, but there's a big but here. They've been around since 1976. They have three locations, Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. They have the most comprehensive line of tires I've ever seen, from wheelbarrows to tractors and everything in between. So you can say, give me a good, better, best estimate. Give me the total amount that I can write my check at home before I come here, and you'll mount and balance four tires. They can handle all that. But they also do oil changes, alignments, suspension work. They do lots of other repair, but the focus is really tires. So if you're in the west side, Peoria, Surprise, or Goodyear, S&S Tire, you can't lose by just stopping by and getting some numbers from them. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, let's go back to the phone because we've got a full board real quick, and we're going to go to Dan because he was the last one. Dan, good morning. How can we help you?
Yeah, Mark, here's my condition. I'm due for a 55,000-mile oil change on a Tacoma.
Okay.
I'm going to get that done. Now, should I do the transmission automatic?
What year is it?
2012.
Talk to me, boys. Give me a quick answer.
What does the owner's manual say?
Yeah, the owner's manual. I'm guessing we're not even close.
Okay, cool. I don't need to.
Well, check your owner's manual, but I'm of the opinion that north of 2010, we've got some stretched out stuff where we got fluids between 75 and 100 is the global view.
Yeah.
So if the fluid's cherry red and doesn't smell, the answer is no.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, another question. Brakes. What am I looking for if I'm told I need brakes?
Well, it depends on your driving, but I'll tell you something. If you do your oil, if you do your tire rotations at every other oil change like you're supposed to, they ought to be checking the brakes.
Yeah.
And so that's where you get a constant reminder of your brakes. But really and truly, my wife's at 88, and we're not even close to being done. Right. On my truck, 88, I'm not even close to needing.
We've seen a lot of them run 80 to 100,000 now.
And that's so the answer to is next time you're going for your oil change, get a tire rotation. And by the way, boys, while you got the brakes uncovered, I want to know exactly where I'm at. Most of us are going to give you a 30-second, or in my case, we're going to give you 25% left, 50% left. Or we use a gone number, so you got 50% gone. It depends, but your shop's going to make it clear to you. Okay?
What's the minimum number I should be looking out for?
When he says you're close to the rivets.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I looked at him at I had a tires put on it at the discount place, and I looked at the front, and I could see the brake pads, They look pretty thick to me, but I'm just looking, you know, real quick.
All right. Well, the brake pad usually is about as thick as your mouse pad. Okay,
yeah,
so it's about 3/8 of an inch. Will you go along with me on something like that? So anyway, if you can see the pad, and I'll tell you what, the pad better be thicker than the metal behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you look at the metal backing, the pad better be thicker than that. I just came up with that. Is that not brilliant?
That's brilliant.
That's the first thing to look at. I can see that real quick.
All righty. Thank you very much, Dan. Richard, you're up next. Richard, how can I help you?
Yeah, good morning. I thought maybe I'd call in with you with the 120 years guys of experience. Maybe you can answer this question for me.
Okay.
I've got a 2002 Dodge Durango V8, and I've had it into my shop a couple times in the favorite shop, and the compressor is kicking out all that it's going to do, but it's not coming out the vents. Very little is coming out of the vents, and so they had told me that it was a computer setting somewhere inside of the dash. And so I thought, okay, I took it down to that Dodge dealer down there at 17th and Camelback and explained that to him, and he goes, oh, yeah, we can get in there and fix that. Well, after I picked it up, nothing. They didn't do anything, charging about $350, and very little air comes out of the vents on the dash.
Okay. There's so many things that this can be. It can be the mode switch. It can be air condition controls. You could have a Taco Bell wrapper on the blend door, holding it open. That's not uncommon. We find all kinds of stuff.
The evaporator core plugged?
Plugged up, absolutely.
You actually have doors break and they fall in and then they block flow completely.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot. But the good news is you go back to the guy that's got your $300. You ask for the service manager. You explain that you left with exactly the same problem. And you want them to look at it on their dime, which is do this in a nice way. I would expect that your diagnosis will not be charged to me, and or you can give me my $350 back right now. So
I did that, and they refused to do that.
How did you pay? Would you pay with a credit card? Did you pay with a
You know, it's been over a year now.
Oh, well, that's too late. Yeah.
And my son's been driving it. The dealer where I normally, the auto shop where I normally go, said, you know, they just got weak. You know, that's a problem with that year.
Okay. I don't know. None of us are going to agree that it's a problem with that year. That's an easy way for somebody to explain why they can't fix it.
Yeah.
The idea is this is a fixable problem. We've given you all the options. You just need to find
where do I take it?
Where you live?
Well, I'm in the Paradise Valley area.
Okay. You could go to Blackwell, 40th Street in Greenway. Tell him I said he couldn't fix it anyway, but he'll probably fix it for you. You can go to 25th Street Auto on Indian School and 25th Street. You can go to Martin's at 16th Street, south of Osborne. So there's three shops. Go to marksalem.com, click mechanical, click best shops, click mechanical, and all the shops are listed right there and on a map for you. I got to run, though. Thank you very much, Richard. Les, you're up next. Les, how can I help you?
Yeah, I'm working on an 81 Ford F-100 that I put a new motor in and some other work, but they put a clear plastic fuel filter in the between the tank and the fuel pump.
Okay.
And if I leave it sit for 2 days, that fuel filter gets empty, and then it's hard to start because it's not pulling any fuel.
It's carbureted, right?
Yes, it's carbureted.
Okay. All right, well, real quick, can you think of a reason why we're going to suck all the fuel out of the carburetor?
No.
I'm talking to them. First of all, this is a very unusual to start the diagnosis. If you say to the shop, I need you to find out why the glass fuel filter doesn't have fuel in it, you're wasting your time. We need to go right to the point. The point is that you're having a tough time. Accelerator pump bad. The well's leaking down inside the engine where the carburetor's leaking out of the bowl. It's been sitting a long time.
He's got the wrong gasket under the base of the carburetor. It's heating too much, and today's fuel is vaporized right out of it.
I agree. So there's lots of things that this could be. Now, a diagnostic. Give me a range.
65 to 120.
Okay, and I would have opened it up a little bit more because I always ask. I'm asking myself the question first. Yeah. 75 to 150. I can tell you what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
And there's a possibility I could fix it for that much money.
Yeah.
So this isn't a big deal, but looking at the fuel filter is not the way to go.
Yeah.
We don't care about that. If it'll do 70 miles an hour, Well, that 81 Ford may not do 75. I'm just teasing you.
No, it does fine.
Okay, if it's doing 70 miles an hour, there's nothing wrong with the fuel delivery system.
Right.
Okay, because that's a high demand. So I'm teasing you about a Ford. Please accept my my thing.
I understand.
Okay, thank you, Les. Thank you very much. Jerry, you're up next. How can I help you? Hi, Jerry.
Actually, Jerry dropped. Let's go to Rick.
Okay, Rick, you're up next. How can I help you?
Well, I think you guys already did help me with one of your callers by saying I could go to your website and maybe find an honest garage, because I just moved here, and I took it to a place where my family was going to, but then they said I needed brakes and everything, so I had the rear brakes put on. But then when I get my car back, they took one of my brand new floor mats out and put in an old tore up one.
Well, that's a problem.
I went back to them and said, you know, like, this isn't right. And I haven't heard back from her or anything, so okay, well, I don't know what to do.
Let me comment on this. First of all, let me explain something. The best car repair shops list on my website, it's written this. If you have a problem with one of my shops, you have to file a nice complaint with the Better Business Bureau. The keyword is...
Your shop.
I understand. Let me finish. Okay. You have to file a nice, keyword, nice, complaint at the Better Business Bureau. If the Better Business Bureau tells the shop to make a refund or fix your car and the shop doesn't do either one of those, I will up to $5,000. I'll fix your car up to $5,000. I'll refund you the money that the shop did and kick their butt off my list. Or I'll fix your car. So and that's never happened since 1988. It's never happened. So Best Car Repair Shops is a good place to go, but my word is my bond. So I've never paid out money. I came close last year, but I never paid out money. The shop owner was just dragging his feet a little bit more, and I gave him a deadline and said, you're either going to pay this customer or I am. It was a $2,000 dispute, and at the last minute he came up with the money, and so he's still in. He was just mad at me. But he agreed to that thing. So, and as far as your floor mats are concerned, I want to make a constructive suggestion to you. I would go find a matching pair of floor mats that you like at Pep Boys or Walmart or AutoZone or wherever. And I would say to them, here's a picture, I took it with my phone, of the floor mats that I would like to replace this with because you lost my driver's side. And this set of floor mat is $80. So I'm looking for $80 from you. That would eliminate a lot of hemming and hawing. Mm-hmm. So at that particular point, depending on what he charged you, he ought to just pony up $80.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my suggestion to you, Rick. But thank you for your compliment. But best car, you go to marksalem.com, click on the word best, and there's a map there of our shops. And there's mechanical, there's paint and body, there's transmission, and there's diesel. Oh, we have a diesel thing, too, as well. Anyway, you know what? I did that pretty damn good. Have you got any other callers sitting there?
Nope. Gil? Lines are open.
All righty. Well, we're just going to talk it to the end of the hour, so unless somebody calls in the next 30 seconds. Being a master tech, it means that the car is divided into 8 categories. So if you just pass the suspension category, you are ASE certified in suspension. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct.
I'm not going to ask you to name all 8 because I can never do that. You want to try 8?
I can try 8.
Okay, go.
Engine repair.
Go.
Suspension. Brakes. Automatic transmission. Manual transmission differential. Engine performance. Air conditioning.
And electrical.
Okay. All right, good.
And so, they added light-duty diesel now.
Okay. All right. That's a master tech. You're going to do all of those.
Yeah.
You're going to do all of those and pass them, and you have to recertify every 5 years. It takes a stud to pass all 8 of those tests because, if I'm not mistaken, isn't it 5, 6, 7 hours? It's a long time.
Yeah, it's
basic certification is, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then if you just go in and get suspension, then you can classify yourself as ASE certified in suspension. But you can't say you're a master tech. So all of us are master techs.
Yeah.
Have you are you still taking tests?
I'm going to go down and take some because these guys don't think I can pass them.
Well, I got an idea for you. When you hit a certain age and a certain time, they'll give you an emeritus status, which means that you are a master from now until you die, and you don't have to take the test.
But the problem is they'll call me a wimp, just like they refer to you.
As long as you guys are, they don't got to give you very long, do they?
See, I told you, Mark, don't bring this up.
You guys can laugh all you want, all right? You can laugh all you want. I have, you guys were in diapers when I started working on cars. Yeah. Just think about that. You guys, no matter how you don't have the experience in the old cars like we do.
No.
All right. You don't have that experience. And we've transitioned through, you guys came in when we already had computers. You guys came in when we already had TPSs. You don't even know anything about a 1936 Ford.
I'm glad.
That's fine. But I'm sticking up for him. There's no reason he has to take that. He doesn't have to prove to anybody that he's been. How long have you been a master?
Oh, so it's been. I got it.
About 21?
14, 15 years.
Oh, okay. That's half as long as me. Go ahead.
I think I was just a little longer than you, right?
Okay. You should recertify every 5 years, yeah. But you have to do 25 years to be emeritus. Uh-huh. So I've already got 25 years. I'm plus 25 years. I'm close to 30.
Yeah.
So I've got these two bucks together don't have the experience.
you sound a little bitter, Mark.
Do I sound like a rare?
Yeah.
Mark, we are incredibly impressed.
No. Just, all right, this is your last show. This is your last show. Okay, I'm going to make up some time here. Larry Harker's Auto, he's another gray-haired guy.
Yeah.
Larry Harker's Auto is one studly diagnostician. You just challenge him and say, nobody can fix this, and I've heard that you might want to give it a shot, and he'll jump all over that thing. Anyway, since 1967, Larry Harker's has been in business, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Ellen is at the front counter, and don't want to mess with her. Okay? She's a very pleasant lady, but she bites back. So when you walk in or start yelling, she's likely to toss you. But that doesn't happen but once every year. So, anyway, Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Bob, who's in charge of the shop, he's one of the best technicians I know. He's one of the best diagnosticians I know. So if you live in that area, 38th Avenue and Indian School, you've got one of the finest shops around. Okay, Kurt, Eric, and Jeff. As it always is. Thank you for spending your Saturday
Thanks,
with me.
Thanks, Mark. We appreciate it.
I'm going up north, and I'm going to laugh the whole way thinking about what we've done. Okay? The damage we've done together.
What do you mean, we?
That's okay.
You're going to get the phone call.
I'm a big boy. I can handle that. I have three answers. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. You misunderstood me, and then... That's the three right there. All righty, we'll be back next Saturday. God bless you. Drive safe.